Hey, Adam.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing pretty good.
Well, apparently I have connectivity for now.
Excellent. For now.
Still don't know what I'm going to say.
Well, you know, I'm sure you'll be inspired by something. Perhaps something that somebody says. Who knows?
That has occurred.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I'm officially in the middle of nowhere, so if I got into a fiery wreck, nobody would see the body.
Uh-oh. It's raining here. Are you driving through rain? Uh-oh.
I'm not old. I live outside of Los Angeles.
Say that again. I lost you for a minute.
So,
Adam, if you can hear me, I cannot hear you right now, so hopefully your reception will return. Hey, Jill.
Hello, how is everyone? How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. Hi, Joellen.
Hey, Amy, I'm getting some tea before the meeting starts. I'll be right back.
Nice. No problem, no problem. And Joe, as a heads up, Adam is driving currently, and his reception may be a little in and out, so he may or may not be able to do the 10-minute tidbit, but we'll have to see where he is when that time comes.
Okay. Yeah, I panicked and couldn't find the agenda, and then I go, oh. Then I went to the speaker's email, found it there. So I've been forgetting to look. I think I have it somewhere in my main email, but I just couldn't find it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you should have it in both places for sure.
Oh, yeah. Are you still doing the counselor shout out?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Sharina.
Hey.
Jill, have you heard on whether or not communications and marketing is going to make a standing rule motion regarding the committee minutes?
Well, noted. I'm muted. If I have staff and Grace, I think they are going to present it.
Okay.
Afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Enjoying this nice, gloomy weather, I guess.
It's cold and wet out.
The weather is confusing my plants. I don't know whether to grow or go dormant, basically.
Yeah, I'm having that same issue with my plants, Grace.
Yeah, we have snapdragons that refuse to die in the cold.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Joe, did you see that Tony Robinson will not be here? In time to read the land acknowledgement?
I didn't see that.
He's scheduled to, but he's got a student he's helping at the moment.
And Ruth, I don't know if you got the message. Ruth Stoddard will be in.
I did. I got that. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone here who would like to read the land acknowledgement?
If you'd like me to read it, Joseph, this is Lincoln, sorry.
Sure.
I didn't read it as I was supposed to last time, but could you pull it up for me?
I've got it up already. Do you want me to go ahead and share?
I would like
to. Yeah, if you can.
Sure.
Thank you. Founded in 1889, the university...
Oh. Actually, hold on, sorry.
Oh, we haven't actually started the meeting yet, Winston.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, the person who's supposed to read it is not here today, and we needed somebody to read it. So thank you for volunteering. Sorry.
Sure, I was supposed to last time.
Yeah.
And Joe, quorum for today is 23. So whenever you see fit to get started.
So Amy, I've screenshotted it. If you need to get back to an agenda posted or something.
Okay. Thank you, Winston.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Lisa. Why don't we go ahead and start? We're at 25. And call the meeting to order. And you can do the roll call.
Okay. Thank you, Speaker Lane. Hi, everybody. Happy January. I'll just go ahead and get started. Councillor Beecham.
Here.
Begay. Blanco Silva. Both. Chavez. Cushing. Desai.
Present.
Faustino.
Present.
Fisher.
Present.
Flores. Forsyth. Gallegos?
Here.
Gilbert? Hauser?
Here.
Heinemeier? Henley? Jean, are you here? Jean. Jones?
Here.
Kafka?
Here.
Lane?
Here.
Thank you. Leyenbarger?
Here.
Lopez? Luna? Okay, Kelly. McQuarrie. Montoya.
Present.
Mount. Maria.
Here.
Olay. Ivan, are you here?
Yes. Sorry.
It's all right, thanks. Ortiz?
Here.
Fitz?
Here.
Rios? Roberts? Rucker.
Here.
Oh, thank you. Sakiestua. Sawyer.
Here.
Serna?
Here.
Shafty?
Here.
Sloan?
Here.
Smith? Stanton?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Thomas? Torres? Trujillo?
Present.
Thank you, Jennifer. Okay, who is here that may have missed their name when I called roll?
Jeff Mount.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Got you. Who else?
Alex Foss.
Got you, Alex. Thank you. Who else?
Chelsea BK.
Chelsea, excellent. Thank you, Chelsea.
Brandon Kelly.
Bryn, I got you. Who else?
Hi, Amy. It's Frankie. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, got you. Okay. Frankie.
Sorry, Bryn.
Frankie McQuarrie. Got you. Thank you.
Javier Rios.
Got you, Javier. Thank you. Okay. Any Colt. Other counselors?
Colt Vaughn.
Okay. Colt, where are you visiting us from?
Environmental Health and Safety. Not a counselor. Just a
right. team. Cool. Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. And then
I am also here.
Yes, Adam Hathaway is also here. Just to let you guys all know, he is currently traveling, so we'll see where his reception is when it comes to his 10-minute tidbit, okay? But thank you for that, Adam.
And then, Amy, I didn't hear you call my name. This is Winton.
Oh, I'm sorry, Winton. Thank you for letting me know.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other counselors who are here now who did not hear their name during roll call? Cool. Speaker Lane, quorum has been established. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Thank you. Does everyone approve the agenda? Can someone show a clean copy of it? If you have it available. For your day?
I clicked on mute like 7 times. I'll move to approve the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second? No,
I'll second.
Okay, I find the agenda approved. Land acknowledgement, now you can go.
Thank you. Okay. Founded in 1889, the University of New Mexico sits on the traditional homelands of the Pueblo of Sandia. The original peoples of New Mexico, Pueblo, Navajo, and Apache, since time immemorial, have deep connections to the land and have made significant contributions to the broader community statewide. We honor the land itself and those who remain stewards of this land throughout the generations, and also acknowledge our committed relationship to Indigenous peoples. We gratefully recognize our history.
Thank you. Has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes? Do you approve the minutes as they're worded? Does anyone want to move to approve?
I move to approve the minutes.
Is there a second? So without objection, second, okay. Without objection, I'm going to go ahead and approve the minutes. Next on is constituent comments. Are there any constituents who would like to make a comment? This is your time. Not seeing anyone. Counselor shout outs. Administrator Hawkins, Secretary Hawkins.
and everyone. This is something new that I've wanted to do. It's really my only place to speak up during this meeting because this is your meeting. Although I'm a big part of staff council, I am not a counselor. So I don't get to vote on things during this meeting and I don't really have much space to talk. I'm basically here for support. But in that support role, I really want to start sort of appreciating, giving some shout outs to some different counselors who do a lot of things behind the scenes that may not get a lot of attention around because they're either not part of a committee or something like that. There's just a lot of work that different individuals do. And I want to start recognizing that. So, this is sort of the trial month. If you have any feedback for me afterwards, please let me know. Suggestions. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Whatever. Okay. So, again, a shout out, just a message of congratulations, support, and appreciation, right? So a few shout outs I want to begin this year with, this January, is to our counselor, Ivan Olay, grade 14 counselor. It is largely due to him that we had such a positive reaction and event with the staff breakfast burrito the first week we came back from break. So he not only came up with the idea for the HR focused event for staff, but he put the work in the survey to find out what ideas we all thought were the most important benefits we have, and for recruiting English and Spanish translators to be there at the HR tables, which were busy the whole morning. Okay, it was a really successful part of the event. And during the 3 hours at the event, Ivan really worked with the room. He visited with staff, walking around and encouraged people to take advantage of the easy access for questions that they may have about their benefits. Okay, so shout out for Ivan. Good job on that. Along the same lines for the same event, I also want to give a shout out to Amy Ortiz, who is our president, but also Precinct 9 representative, and Jennifer Trujillo, who is grade 12 representative, for working with the Office of Division for Equity and Inclusion to include the climate survey in the breakfast burrito event. They supported the DEI staff during the three-hour event. They organized the free use of the computers that were set out so staff could do that on hand while they were at the event, made it really convenient for a lot of people. And they physically schlepped those computers needed over to La Posada. So shout out to Amy and Jennifer as well. Overall, it was a really cool event. And good job, you guys. I want to give a third shout out to all of our counselors who are currently dealing with illnesses, family hardships, difficult workloads, because I know that there are several of you out there and you still continue to do the work of advocating for staff. So I applaud all of you as well. And that's all I have for this segment today. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Nice to see you all.
Okay, on to reports, the president's report. Amy, are you?
So this will be very quick since the year just started, and my meetings don't start until later this week. But I just want to remind everyone of a few things. First, the policy review period that ends on the 20th. If you have not yet reminded your constituents to take a look at that remote work policy, please do. The area that I am most concerned with and would love to see more comments on is the change of language in one of the policies to basically remove the wording that says that exempt employees have essentially broad discretion in how and when to perform their work. That's been updated to remove that language and add that exempt employees may be required to work evenings, weekends, and go on extended travel to meet the requirements of their job. And that is obviously really different language than we've had for a long time. So I encourage you all to take a look at that and comment if you haven't, and encourage your constituents to. Another thing, if you have not already reached out to your constituents, please remind them about the UNM Campus Climate Survey that was launched basically to coincide with our staff breakfast. The response has been wonderful so far, but we want to get everybody's voice heard on that survey. And then finally, when Government Relations gives their report, you're going to hear more about this. But I just want to remind everyone that the legislative session is getting ready to kick off. It is a full session this year, and we have some really important priorities. So please get involved. If you can come with us to the roundhouse and make your voice heard, that'd be wonderful. You know, make your phone calls, maybe sign up for postcards. And again, Government Relations is going to have a lot more information about that. Did anyone have any questions? Okay, thanks so much.
Okay, the Executive Committee report, Grace.
Thank you, Jill. Good morning, or good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Year and welcome back. I do not have much to report since we just started our series of meetings, but there'll be some event requests that were presented here for you to review. Please go ahead and look at that and see if we can approve those. Other than that, looking forward to this meeting and to everyone coming back. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Grace? No. It's on to the speaker's report. If you have no objections and with unanimous consent, I would like to appoint Madeline Meyenbarger as chair of the Staff Success Committee. Thank you, Madeline, for taking this, the lead on this important Staff Council Committee. Is there any objection? I hope not. So, thank you. If there are no objections and with unanimous consent, I would like to appoint Brian Jones to chair the Market and Marketing and Communications Committee. Not seeing objections there. If there are no objections and with unanimous consent, I would like to appoint Sierra Cushing to an open grade 13 representative slot. Thank you, and thank you, Sierra. I would also like to take this time to officially thank Celeste Cole for her many years of support. When I first started staff council on the recognition, rewards and recognition committee, she was the chair, and she did these wonderful baskets, for the winners of PAWS and the various other awards. But I would like to officially thank her for her service and congratulate her on her retirement. And I would also like to give out a shout out to Joanne Kushner for her years of support for staff council. She's been a constituent and she's always been very supportive. She was a counselor in the past, and I just want to do a shout out for her. That is all that I have. Are there any questions for me? Treasurer's report. Carla, are you here?
I don't think she is, Joe. She did not answer a roll call, and I don't see her here now.
Sorry, the Ethics Committee. We'll go ahead and do the committee reports. The Ethics Committee, go ahead and do your report. Mark. Or whoever's in. Is there anyone from that committee here? So I'll move on to the Rules and Elections Committee. Mark.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. This is Mark Fisher, Chair of Rules and Elections. We did not have a meeting yet since our last report. We have our next meeting scheduled actually Wednesday, January 25th. And we're going to begin discussing the whole calendar for great elections this spring. So that'll be interesting. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Communications and Marketing, Brian?
We don't have much of the, as a committee to report. There is an item that will be presented before the whole council here shortly. Grace, does that happen now, or is that later on the agenda?
That happens now.
Okay. I'm going to put up a share screen here. I'm going to grab control here for a little bit. We have make sure I've got the right document here. Okay. So this came about through conversation with the various chairs and with the executive committee. This is not something that the communications marketing committee will own, but because it pertains to the way the council itself communicates, this is moving through the committee, being advanced to the full council for consideration. And so I'm going to go ahead and make a formal motion to adopt this language, and the council is certainly free to discuss on this. But I'm going to move that we submit approved committee meeting minutes form via email to the administrator and speaker to serve as both minutes and committee report prior to 11 a.m. on the Friday before the monthly business meeting, so that the speaker can present the reports to the executive committee per Article 5, Section 1, General F, and also require that each committee present a verbal summary at the monthly business meeting. This will eliminate a written committee report form to the speaker. Lots of words, very, very long. What does that mean? It basically means we're trying to cut down a replication in the process here. It means where you can consolidate sort of your minutes and then give a verbal report rather than have to submit multiple paperwork on this. So it's just something that committee chairs had talked about, so they weren't replicating effort on this. It's just a way of making it quicker and cleaner to report out from the committees.
Okay, thank you, Brian. I just want to announce that this will be a standing rule, basically, that we're trying to improve here. Since it's coming from committee and we don't need to have it second, do you want to go first, why we should approve this? I mean, since I kind of asked for it. But.
Oh, are you asking if I want to go first?
Yeah, you have a chance to go first.
Oh, no. I had a conversation earlier just to make sure that it was made clear that the Communications and Marketing Committee does not have precedent over the process on this. It's left purely to the administrative functions of the full council. And then again, it's expressing the will of the chairs on this. For full approval. It's mostly done as a way to cut down on the amount of paperwork that the chairs have to deal with when they file their reports. So I think it's something that will make the committee chairs happier and will also move things along quicker. So I think I, on behalf of the happiness of the committee chairs, I would urge the adoption of this language.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Amy.
Thanks, Joe. I would just like to propose an amendment to this rule to strike and also require that each committee present a verbal summary at the monthly business meeting. We could replace that with a verbal summary may be presented at the monthly business meeting. The there are a couple reasons for this. One, when we discussed this, we didn't discuss the committee chairs a requirement for a verbal summary. We discussed the fact that those meeting minutes could be supplemented by a verbal report to allow for, you know, getting the most current information there. And the other reason is that not every committee meets monthly, and that would require attendance of a committee member and require them to give a report at each business meeting, which I think, you know, wouldn't make a lot of sense for committees that haven't met, and also could be really difficult for some of the small committees to guarantee that at every meeting they'd have someone to deliver a verbal report.
Oh, yeah, on the amendment, are there any objections to the amendment? Can you paste the language, Amy, into the chat so Brian could edit it? Sorry.
Perfect. Amy, is that correct?
Yeah, that looks good to me. But so now, Joe, we need to see if anyone has any discussion on the amendment I just proposed.
Does anybody have any comment on the amendment that was just proposed? Mark, did you have a statement?
Yes, I did have a comment on the amendment, and it's just a very general one. Should we have a period now after general F and then a whole new sentence with a capital C for committees may present a verbal summary, or is this grammatically correct?
Now, if the question is whether this C in committee chairs should be lowercase, I think that's correct. Above, we're specifically referring to executive committee, and down below, we're referring to generic committees as a whole.
I think what Mark means is, would a period or a semicolon make that sentence?
Oh, I see. So break that sentence up. Oh, because
of a comma.
Should there be a comma? I'm sorry, what was that, one? Should there be a comma there or a period? Council, Joe, do you know? Article 5, Section 1, General F? Or is it General
F? The comma is fine.
The comma is fine? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the question, I think, is whether we can go period, capital C. Is that correct?
That was what I was asking, if that's okay. More grammatically correct.
Sorry, Mark, I misunderstood. I was parsing already.
Does anybody have any comment on the amendment to the amendment, basically the change?
I think it's much clearer this way.
Okay, thank you. If there's no objection, we'll accept the amendment. Unless Yade has a comment on the amendment. Okay, go ahead, Yade.
So I don't know how detailed and clear we have to be given where this is presented, but submit approved committee meetings. Do we need to designate that it's approved by the committee, or is it the form itself that's the approved form? because the way it reads is submit approved committee meeting form. And so that's that the form was approved, not necessarily that the committee meeting minutes were approved. And I think that what's intended from this is it's the minutes that were approved by the committee are utilizing the minutes, the meeting minutes form for the approved version of those minutes, right? So I think that that could be clarified, and I can put it in the chat in the way that I was thinking in a second. That's one. Another one is, do we need to designate, right now it says to the administrator and speaker. It doesn't designate that it's the staff council administrator and speaker. I don't know if we need to, given that it's going to be in our bylaws, but that might help eliminate some ambiguity in the future. And then the statement of to serve as both meeting and committee reports. Unless we have another section in our bylaws somewhere else that says we need both of these, I don't think we need to designate what it serves as, because moving forward, the committee report won't be a thing that we've been working with. And unless it's referenced in some other place, I don't think that that's a necessary component to have. Same with the statement of this will eliminate written committee reports from form needs to be from, or no, report form, that's correct, to the speaker. We wouldn't necessarily need that if at no other place are we referencing that particular form. So I know that was a lot, so we can pull it apart as you think we need to. Brian, I don't know where you want to start with that.
I'm sorry for the interruption, but I want to make a quick clarification. This was moved as a standing rule, Yade, so this will not be... This is not a bylaw amendment. This is just a standing rule.
So wherever it lays, thank you for the clarification, and wherever it lays, thus, I don't know what level of detail we need in that type of terminology, or what it's cross-referencing with. And that's, so take those comments, those of you who are more familiar with what the standing rules needs to include and not include with those commentary.
Okay, Yade, can you be clear on what the amendment you want to change? So
to start, the submit approved committee meeting minutes form needs to be reworded to recognize that it's the maybe submit committee approved meeting minutes form. Or right, yeah, and then switch it so that it's clear that it's that the committee approved the particular monthly minutes. And then if we need to designate staff council administrator and speaker versus just administrator and speaker at the top.
Okay, I'm not really sure that's really needed, but...
Yeah, that part I don't know just because of how it is. Mm-hmm. And then to serve as both the minutes and committee report as well as the final sentence, all those of you who are more familiar with it can speak to whether that's a necessary component to address or not.
You're saying remove the highlighted clause there, Yadi?
That clause, and then also at the top in the first sentence, to serve as both minutes and committee report.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to say that. I think it just is... submit it. We're not saying what it serves as. If, again, there's no reference anywhere else to needing a committee report in the minutes. If this is the rule.
Yeah, I think that's more than two changes. What are the first two?
We can move for this first one with just saying committee approved meeting minutes form. And then go to the concept of the second one, since there are two.
Okay. Are there any objections to the amendment that Yade did for the first sentence? Submit committee approved meeting minutes from via email to the administrator and speaker to serve as both minutes and committee report prior to 11 a.m. on Friday before the monthly business meeting so that the speaker can present the report to the executive committee.
So, Joe, clarification, are we leaving to serve as both minutes and committee report? Or are we striking that? Because I do not believe we can strike that, because the bylaws specifically state committees give committee reports. So that's why that language is there, saying that it serves as the committee report.
And that's where I wasn't sure what it referenced.
Right.
That my next commentary, just ignore it, unnecessary, and leave it as just committee approved minutes. Thank you for that cross-reference.
Without objection, shall we approve that amendment? Yede, what was the other part? Or is it done? What was that? There?
The rest don't matter anymore because of the clarification that Amy...
Well, Yede, is that sentence, though, or is that one you're still going to move to strike? And Amy, is that one that could be removed? That's a justification for the new language? Does it need to be in there?
That could be removed as long since we have it saying earlier that it serves as the committee report.
Okay.
I think that you could say that eliminates the written committee report form.
Okay.
So without objection, let's accept that amendment also, removing that. Okay. Yeah, I know. I see your hand. I'm still waiting.
All right. Okay. All right.
Okay. Go ahead, Damien.
I'm sorry.
My one question was about what does it mean, I guess, to approve the minutes? When are the minutes supposed to be approved? For example, you know, my experience is that we approved the previous meeting's minutes at the current meeting, and so therefore meeting minutes would be like a month old as they would be submitted to the executive committee.
Yeah, that's fine. We've talked about this before. If they're a month old, that's why we have the business meeting and you guys do reports. You can update what's currently happening, and you could include the approved minutes for the next business meeting. Does that make any sense at all? That once you submit that approved, it has to be approved minutes, of course. But anything that you want to fill in, you could do it during the business meeting, the following business meeting, to fill in what's happening in your committee. Does that make any sense? I'm sorry, Dan.
Slightly, I guess. I don't know. It just still seems like we'd be end up with really old minutes regarding what we have. So that's my take on it. So.
Okay, go ahead, Madeline.
Thanks. Just as a thought, I don't know that this has to be, but that option of having a committee report in addition to the minutes might be a good way to kind of maybe get around that lag in approval and timeline. The committee report sounds like it doesn't have to be as formal if it's given at this meeting, so it could be like a quick update on, hey, and in the next minute, this is what we talked about. It hasn't been approved yet, but it's on the table or on people's minds. So, I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. Just to speak to the previous question, I think that in cases where, a committee doesn't meet necessarily monthly, committee meeting minutes can be approved before the next meeting in cases like that if you want to have, greater time. That's what I was thinking in practice. But I approve how this reads at the moment with this amendment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Go ahead, Grace.
Thank you, Speaker Lane. I just wanted to say I do approve and support this language. And to Damien's question earlier, Damien, yes, it will mean that the committee reports will be retroactive because some people meet before the business meeting, some meet after the business meeting. So most minutes will be retroactive in my mind. So I think it's fine. I hope that answers your question. If you have any questions, we can chat about it at the RT meeting too. Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, Yade.
Just a quick to follow up on that statement to kind of bring the broader council into the conversation that was but with the committee chairs, was that submitting both meeting minutes, which have a lot of detail to what each committee is covering, as well as the reports. The reports provided little substantive information to all of us who aren't on those committees for what was happening. And so the idea was to reduce the level of work for the committee chairs and creating a new document that lent little value and had it so that we were submitting minutes, understanding that there was a lag, and that's why there is the you can provide a verbal summary of what you've accomplished in between the period of the minutes that everybody is seeing and the time of that general business meeting. So that kind of addresses that concern of the lag, just for clarification.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody else have a comment? So if there's no objection and unanimous consent, I would like to, us to approve this standing rule. Are there any objections? Not seeing any, I approve, it's been approved. Thank you everybody for your discussion on this. It'll be helpful for all of us. Brian, are you done for the committee report?
I was having the same problem as someone was earlier. My unmute button, I had to hit 35 times. That concludes the report from the Communications Marketing Committee. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you so much for providing that.
Thank you to the whole council for the consideration. I appreciate that. We know that came out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. Grace,
hey, Jill.
Oh, hi, Angel. Go ahead.
Yeah. So our December minutes are in your email, but just a couple things to highlight. One is that we're working on plans for Black History Month, which is in February, so we'll get that together soon. One other thing, continuing work on justice involves persons at UNM. Amy Ortiz has been in contact with folks at HR and upper administration about the criminal conviction form. And now that staff background checks are universal, it's possible that we might get rid of that form. So that is ongoing, and thanks to Amy for picking that up. A few other sorts of issues and concerns going on, but those are the main things I wanted to talk about. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Angela? Not seeing any. Environmental sustainability. Sarina?
Hi. There's just three things that we wanted to mention. We're still, and this is where we're learning as we go. We're thanks to Johnski, shout out to him, for putting in a lot of work to put together our very first Lunch and Learn. So that's going to be the first in a 5-part series. And so we're going to cover things like water and energy production and use, waste management and recycling, carbon efficient transportation, and then locally produced food purchasing. So the purpose is, you know, to get these conversations going and sort of form a network so that we can actually find out how much UNM as a community are going through these resources. And so if we can have a regular source of this information, we can start to set goals as far as how we can improve as a community. So our first one is coming up at the end of January, but we are sort of learning how to submit an event form. I guess that's on the agenda for the executive committee. And then we're waiting for final approval of the flyer. So when that actually comes through, councillors, please help us distribute to your constituents when that happens. And then the last thing, because it was brought up when we actually have these lunch and learns, there's a good chance that we will have some outside entities kind of chiming in because it can, you know, it can interest them too. Like, for example, water. Some of our guest speakers invited some of their network. And so we were wondering, and maybe this is the incorrect way to do it, if we need to propose to all of you, or permission or whatever, how to utilize the UNM listserv to reach out to those outside entities. So if we'll follow up with them and say, hey, we're having these great discussions about sustainability, some of these entities might be outside UNM. So I'm posing that as a question as far as what's the official way to do that, to ask. Thank you.
One thing that I know of is that if you do a Zoom, you can invite them and give them the password. And usually Amy, I think Amy's still doing the Zoom link for the brown bags. And she may have more information than that.
Thank you.
You don't really need to pass that on, but to us, you could invite anyone you think is important to that brown bag or whatever event you're planning. So it's fine. As for the listeners, you would just have to send them a separate email. So.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for Sharina?
I have a comment.
Go ahead, Mary.
I would just advise the committee to ensure that who you're inviting to come speak are not representatives from an industry, such as the solar industry or something like that, because oftentimes the titles of their organizations make it sound like they're advocates, and in reality they're selling a product. And I've had this happen to me. They think that somehow being invited to this means that they have an in at UNM and they must all follow the RFP process. So just watch out for that.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. That's pretty important to know. Are there any other questions for Sharina?
Can I just clarify, and Sharina corrects me if I'm off base, but so the question about the listserv is, it came about because if we have outside entities who are interested in staying in the loop with what the committee is doing, Sharina was interested in collecting their contact information, their emails, so that there could be some form of a listserv to be able to communicate with them as a larger group. And I had suggested seeing what any, I said there's precedence for the approach or what the regulations are on a committee having a listserv, that whether it's a UNM-based listserv or something else, to communicate with non-UNM-based people to keep them in the communication loop, if that's correct, Sharina.
Go ahead, Amy.
I don't think there's precedent for that. I think that probably that might need to be I'm going to say offline listserv. That sounds stupid, but I mean a listserv that's not necessarily a staff council listserv, right? Just a different listserv that's not the same as the committee's listserv. I don't think we've done that before, but I'm sure it would definitely make things easier if you had, you know, 10 outside UNM people.
Right, and that's what we didn't know if it, like, as a committee, if Sharina could just move forward with putting a ticket into UNM IT to say, can you create a listserv for us to then utilize, or if we needed some form of staff council approval, vetting, oversight.
I don't know if UNM IT would do that because there would be non-UNM addresses. I think it would have to be like an Outlook list, like an Outlook email group that the chair set up and could.
So I have a listserv that's based, it's from a UNM email address and is a UNM listserv, but there are non-UNM email addresses subscribed because it's not auto-populating itself. So anyone can easily subscribe to it. I think it was more making sure there was no red tape we needed to go through as far as committee approval or staff council approval or recognition, or because it's going to be communications coming from a committee.
Yeah, I think Amy, I think is the, maybe the owner, Amy Hawkins, can add the names, regardless of what the email account is. I think, I'm not sure whether they have to be UNM or not. I'm going to go ahead and, Grace, go ahead.
Yeah, Jessica, Sana, do you remember when we tried to sort of create some kind of listserv with AB Albuquerque volunteer organization? Was there something similar to that? I believe we have to disease using that. So I don't know if this is falls along the same lines or we can, I mean, I don't know. Do you remember that conversation, Jessica?
I remember we had it, and I thought we had the emails on there for a while, but I'm not sure how we went about getting it, because it's kind of like with Teams. Like, some of the Teams functions we can use outside emails, mm-hmm. on what we're doing, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
Thank you. Damian?
Yes, if I may, as far as the technology is concerned, with the listserv manager can specify whatever email lists and or addresses and names that they want to add to it. Has no issues regarding if it's a UNM email address or not. Teams and Microsoft Outlook is a separate issue because it is connected to the local Active Directory, but as far as the listserv is concerned, it's not an issue. It's only a policy whether you guys want to allow it or not.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions for Sharina at this point? Okay, seeing none, let's move on to the Government Relations Committee. Mary? Hi, Mary.
Hi, everyone. So the 56th legislative session, New Mexico legislative session, kicked off at noon today. Javier Martinez was elected Speaker of the House of Representatives. Their internet froze, so Lujan Grisham should be speaking before them now, but you can't get on. There'll probably be clips on that later tonight. So this is, I believe, is the fourth year that we're doing postcards going to legislators, request indicating that we are a staff member of UNM and we're requesting their support of UNM legislative priorities. And I would like to point out that these cards are very effective because if you haven't seen them, the one side has the UNM logo on it. So they know that, you know, if they get like five or six cards, that UNM staff are reaching out to them. The other way to reach out to legislators effectively during the session is to call them. Do not email them. They get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails every day. Having said that, I'm gonna pass it off to Mary, my co-chair Mary, and she will give you more information about how the postcards are going to work. Thank you. Mary?
Hi, everyone. I am here. I apologize. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my camera. But you all should have received an email earlier today explaining how the postcards will work. So there is a Google document that you can fill out to request as many postcards as you want. And my email information is also in there. So if you want to just email me to request postcards, please let me know. You can request up as many postcards as you want. It's a great idea to get together with your department to fill out all the postcards at once. In the email, I have a link where you can find your state legislator based on your address. So we're happy to, if you want to get those back to me, I can mail them off for you. You can also mail them off to the legislator of your choice who represents you based on your address. And please, if you have any questions or anything like that, I will begin sending the postcards out to people tomorrow. If you need any information from me, please feel free to email me and let me know. And I look forward, I hope everyone can participate and send us at least a few postcards.
And we would like to get these postcards mailed out before the end of this month because the crucial decision-making for UNM's budget will be at the beginning of the session, because everything is earmarked in the entire state budget.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Mary? And Mary? Go ahead, Angela.
So if we get postcards, are these specific from staff, or might we ask faculty to send them as well?
It says right on the postcard, I am a UNM staff member.
Okay, thank you.
And faculty has never participated in any faculty outreach that I'm aware of, faculty-wide. Grace, I'm sorry, what was your comment?
Oh, I just sent you an email. I don't know if it was me, but I did not see an email from Mary this morning. Mary Fitz. Maybe it's just me.
It was from Amy.
It came out through from Amy. It has all my information on it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Mary? 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 Go ahead, Carla. Hi, Carla.
Hi. Are other staff able to do this? Are you just sending this out to counselors to request cards?
Anyone who requests postcards from me, I'll send to them, not just counselors. If you want to forward the email that was sent to you to your precincts or grades, please do. More participation we have, the better.
Thank you.
So are there any other questions for Government Relations Committee? Seeing none, moving on to the HSCS Committee. Is Christine here? Is anyone here from that committee who would like to make a report? Not seeing anyone. The IT committee, Damian?
Hi. Yes, we had our meeting last week. We hadn't met for a couple of months, so we still don't have approved minutes. But generally what we were talking about is next month that there will be the visit from the CIO and the support desk to come and talk about lost help UNM tickets. We were also talking about looking at the post-pandemic survey for ideas and retrospective for hybrid work in order to maybe look at technologies that might help facilitate staff working remotely. Talked about a little bit about the UNM Health Reorg. Most of the UNM staff are going to stay with UNM. One more lengthy discussion was talking about branch campuses regarding IT support. That also came about discussing about how are the branch campuses represented by the staff council, and that there's, I guess, some wording in the Constitution that potentially are a little bit ambiguous or don't necessarily help facilitate representation of branch campuses. So maybe just a kind of general discussion that we can maybe look at in the future about how can we help, connect better with the branch campus staff. Which also, and so then on to new business, we have some new technologies that are coming out that we're looking at helping support staff and protecting, providing better cybersecurity and protecting people from potentially, getting caught up in phishing scams, et cetera, that we could look at providing a demo sometime in the near future. Also, other just questions, concerns was regarding there's a self-service portal for what we call our private cloud called Bubble Cloud that some of the staff use to request VMs on demand to then help provide for their departments. And so there's some issues with the status of the future of that it may be demised in the near future. And let's see. And then we also have a new member, Ryan Logan from SHAC, that I would like to request be added to our roster as a standing committee member.
What was that name again?
Ryan Logan.
Okay, thank you. I'll add them to the list and we'll approve them at the next business meeting. That's okay with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any questions from Damien? On to Rewards and Recognition Committee, both Grace and Yade.
Grace, do you want to take it, and then I can show the event requests?
You take it.
Okay. So we always have a ton of stuff to do, and this is the way the reward cycle goes. Starting in for February 1st, we're going to be launching the first quarterly PAWS Awards with an also restructured nomination form, which should help nominations being nice and clear and concise, as well as help the review process. So that should come out February 1st. And then the other two big things is I have an event request, which I'll show you, for the Jim Davis Award. The call for that award will go out March 1st, and the award ceremony will be in April. And so keep an eye out, because the Jim Davis Award is for nominating counselors who deserve special recognition. And then the other big thing that we have that we're starting to work on is a Staff Appreciation Week that will be in May, and we need a committee for that. Absolutely anyone and everyone is welcome to help join and is encouraged to participate in signing up to help organize that event. And just because you volunteer doesn't mean you're now in charge of all of it or involved with everything. You can say, I have this idea and I just want to be in the overall planning. You can have very specifics that you want to be involved in. Grace put a link in the chat if you're interested in helping out with the staff appreciation event in any way. Please submit your contact information so that we can keep you in the loop as we move forward with that. Before I move on to the event request, do you have any questions regarding the Staff Appreciation Week volunteering? So with the Jim Davis request, it's been in person most of the time in the recent past. Some of that's because of the pandemic, so we thought it'd be nice to do an in-person celebration this year. So the event request, I did submit it to everybody via email, so hopefully you had a chance to review it, but I will also scroll through it here. The event itself would be in Hodgins Hall's Bobo Room on Wednesday, April 19th from 12 to 1. Just a brief recognition to the awardee and a chance for all of us to just see each other in person, especially since our meetings are still via Zoom. Nice chance to be able to celebrate wonderful people. So the event request, it is a reoccurring annual event, and we are requesting funds. The funds that they're coming from are out of the staff appreciation budget. That does include the Staff Appreciation Week, which I just mentioned we're all going to be helping plan. The budget for that currently, though, is $29,000, and it does acquire additional funds on every month. And last year's Staff Appreciation Week, we used about $20,000 of that. So even if there's a lot of wiggle room in there. And so even though this is coming from that, it'd be a nice thing to celebrate. So the total estimated cost of the event is $606.57. And so we are submitting it to you. The way that that breaks down is the plaques are $75. The room rental is $140, which includes 10 parking passes. So if anyone here is interested in attending the event and needs that parking pass, please reach out to the Rewards and Recognitions Committee. And then for UNM Catering, we have beverages for 30 people with a various breakdown of different drinks, fruit display, a Mediterranean market display, and some cupcakes, as well as a delivery setup. So I'm done with presenting that part.
Okay, are there any discussion on this event request? Are there any questions for Yade?
For Grace.
Oh, Grace. So seeing no comments, I would like us to approve this unanimously, if possible, if there is no objection. So the event has been approved, if I see no objection. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Where am I? Staff Success Committee, our new chair for that committee, Madeline.
Yeah, thank you. So the Staff Success Committee is getting back up and on its feet after not having a chair for a little while. So we met for the first time last week. Last week. Had a really great discussion, and I think we're all really excited about a lot of the ways that we can support staff and maybe revisiting some old conversations that didn't end up happening. A couple of quick updates. The Staff as Students event will be happening on April 3rd of 2023. And it will be back to kind of its normal glory, where it will be held in a more large event with lots of departments able to table. So I have reached out to most of the former departments at UNM that have tabled at this event before. If you represent a department that has not tabled at this event before and you are interested in being involved in that, we have one or two open tables. A couple of former departments have let us know that they won't be able to attend. So we have a little bit of room if you're interested in getting involved. The other thing that I want to mention as I talk about staff as students is we may need some volunteers. We have a few volunteers from our own committee that will be helping with the event on April 3rd, but we need a few more, mostly just to welcome people into the space, check them in, and kind of monitor things like food and help kind of facilitate the flow. The goal is to break it down into 45-minute segments over the full hour and a half that the event is going to run. So the goal is to have two people kind of sharing, breaking it up into the first 45 minutes and second 45 minutes. So if you're interested in volunteering or interested in tabling, you can email me. My email is mlionbarger@unm.edu. And if you are interested in, you or someone you know is interested in, maybe advocating for, staff, especially in regards to education or other success, resources that UNM offers, feel free to join. We are, potentially changing our meeting time to kind of accommodate the schedules of some of our current members. So also do please email me in case you want to join, just to double check the time. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for Madeline? So what was the date of the, sorry, Madeline, what was the date again on the staff of students?
Yes, it is April 3rd of 2023. That's a Monday.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So not seeing any questions for Madeline, strategic planning, Grace?
Thank you, Speaker Lane. The strategic planning committee has not met, so there is nothing to report for this month.
Okay, thank you. And now the UNM policy review, do you have anything to comment on that?
Yes, just a few things. I want to thank everyone who submitted comments on the running draft policy that's currently available for public comment. Also thank all the counselors who are able to engage their precincts or grades to go out and provide comments on the remote work policy and the supplemental policies that are impacted by that policy. If you still need the language to send out for the last final week maybe of the comment period, please let me know and I will send that out to you to share out again. But if you haven't had a chance, go out and see what everyone is saying and provide your feedback too. That's it.
Great. Can you go ahead and just send that to all counselors when you get a chance just again and mention,
okay,
share it with their constituents?
Will do.
Thank you. Seeing that Carla's here now, do you want to do the treasury report now? Are you prepared to do that. If not, you could say you've got nothing to add or whatever.
I'm prepared, except for when I came on in the beginning, my technical difficulties. Let me share my screen. Hold on a second. There we go. Okay. Can you see this or no? Not yet. Okay. Can you see this report?
I can see it.
Okay, good. Okay. There's a nice and easy treasurer's report. First of all, our staff appreciation fund has been using up funds diligently. We had it doesn't show like we have spent a lot, but we have a lot encumbered, $13,000. And from the last staff appreciation event for the burritos at the La Posada, that was estimated to be a higher level amount than was originally requested of $9,800, which significantly reduces the available amount. I'm going to go over this specific fund a little bit further in the report as we move down and a little bit after I finish this first part. So again, this is the staff operating cost, and this is Amy Hawkins' operating amount that she works with. Supervisor Ward is now complete. This $1,185 is actually remaining and potential carryover into the next fiscal year. The next one is the Gerald May Award program. That is also complete, and that has $1,499 in carryover, potentially carrying over into the next fiscal year. So the next thing I want to say is this next block right here that shows the staff appreciation fund breakdown. I wanted to, it came up at our executive meeting, and this appreciation fund is actually used by different other events. Staff success is also put in here, is uses this funds. Also there has been some other staff, council executive, other things that may come up that other councils have, that may not be committee related, but we are asked to help fund in a certain way a project. One of those things is the, as you see down below here, mental health awareness that is still encumbered. That was done, I think, in October, but that is still encumbered under that amount, and it will use the staff appreciation funds. So what I did is broke down what was encumbered and what had actually been requested and what had actually been spent. So based on the fund breakdown, I just did the funding request. I did a percentage, and I want the committees to understand, rewards and recognition especially, is when you see this available amount here, it has been chunked away by some other groups. So not as much as staff appreciation, staff rewards and recognition. So keep in mind, and I let Grace know at our exec meeting, even though this says 70%, about 70% usage by rewards and recognition, I think that like staff success has already been encumbered for fall and spring. So we won't be seeing this part on here, but potentially it could have a little more of other events on here. So just to be cautious, when there's an available amount, think of it as more or less 80%. For rewards and recognition. Okay, so the last number I gave you a day was 29, and obviously some things came in, and so you want to be very conscientious of how much, plus the encumberment, and just to give yourself some leeway, I would say 80% of that available balance. Just to understand how much you could possibly spend. We may have more or less coming in from other projects, but I think that's a safe amount for rewards and recognition. Okay. We had some things that came in for approval. Of course, there's the staff appreciation breakfast that came in a little bit, came in higher, but that was an overall very successful event. So I think utilizing La Posada for this type of event worked out really well. We have the legislation postcards, and Amy can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that this may come out of our operating, because she's the administration portion, but she can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm correct? Okay, good. And then the Be Kind event, it's a small, very cool event that they're going to be making some pins, wooden pins with Be Kind on them. Or they're not going to make them, but the staff is going to make them. They're going to purchase some stickers and other kinds of stuff, fun stuff for the staff to make for themselves. So this is the amount they requested, and it was approved. And of course, the next step, as students, is that. That's the end of my report. Do you have any questions?
Okay. No questions for Carla. Okay. Thank you, Carla.
You're welcome.
Next up is the counselor comments. Are there any counselors who would like to make a comment, announcement? Not seeing anyone. Oh, go ahead, Rudy.
Hi, folks. Rudy Montoya here in the Student Activity Center. Just wanted to share out a reminder that we are hosting Welcome Back Days for students. And we break this up in the spring into two different days, and we still have space for Department Day that's going to be happening tomorrow in the sub-atrium from 11:30 to 1 p.m. It's just a table event, but if you want the opportunity to share some information with returning and new students, we do have table spaces. I'm going to put a link in the chat with a sign-up, but it's on our website, sac.unm.edu. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Go ahead, Amy.
Thanks, Joe. I don't want this to get confused with priorities for the council, but quick comment. In my opinion, we've been online too long, and we should start trying to ease ourselves back into at least having occasional in-person meetings. I would love to see that. There are too many folks who have never met in person. So even if we just did a quarterly meeting in person, that would be wonderful. I'd like y'all to consider that. If you think it's a terrible idea, email me and let me know that I suck. But I'm probably going to keep saying.
Anybody else? Was there any new business that we needed to take care of now? Not seeing any. 2023 Intentions Roundtable, Amy?
Thanks, Joe. So what I just wanted to do is set aside a few minutes for all of us counselors to talk about what we would like to work on this year, right? What are our goals for 2023? Last year, we did a wonderful job taking care of events. We had that resolution for Juneteenth that was well received. We now have a Juneteenth holiday. So, you know, what do we want to put our efforts into this year? And to give you an idea of the kinds of things I'm thinking of, if I, as a counselor, were to answer that question, I would say it would be wonderful if we could do some things to promote working more closely with HSC. There's such a big divide between main campus and North campus. I'd love to see that divide shrink. And we, last year, just had the one resolution. It is you don't want to have a resolution every month, right? Because then people kind of start blowing them off a little bit. But I think, you know, somewhere between 4 and 6 a year is probably a good number to shoot for. So I'd like us to think about what's important to us, what messages do we want to officially send the administration. But, you know, like I said, one of the things as a counselor I'd love to see is just a closer relationship between main campus and health sciences. So this is really just a time that I think we all need to hear from our fellow counselors. So I'm going to be quiet, and if you've got anything to share or any ideas that you'd like to see us working on, please reach me. And if no one raises their hand, I'll cry.
Go ahead, Madeline. Thank you.
Thank you. So this is very much not for our best will, and may or may not happen, but I'm going to mention it anyway because I think that it is something that we talked about at the last staff success council meeting. And one of the things we discussed was the tuition remission language surrounding, like, classes that occurred during work hours might need a little bit of updating and clarification. So that's something that our committee is specifically going to be working on. But if that is something that anyone else in staff council would like to be involved in, we would absolutely love that input. So, yeah.
Thank you, Madeline. Go ahead, Sierra.
I think Carla has hers first.
Thanks, Sierra. I just wanted to mention there's one of the things that I think is pretty evident that we could collab with main campus in it is all the DEIS. Our DEI committee could definitely, I'm always trying to bridge that, but there's a lot of HSC DEI people on our DEI committee. But there's a lot of stuff done through the hospital as well. But if we can collab on all these monthly activities like Black Awareness Month, Hispanic, American Women, Asian, AAPI, I mean, I think we should have definitely a more robust, and I think it could be done on a bigger level, especially two. I don't know why there's two, but there's an HSC DEI office, and there's an UNM DEI. And then there's a hospital, DEI. So obviously we're an overload of DEI, but nobody collaborates with each other. So I think maybe we should take a goal would be more active in trying to knit those together.
Okay, thank you, Carla. Sierra?
Thank you, Joe. I think one of the areas that I could see UNM improving is we have a significant sort of brain drain to outside institutions where people who thought they would be with UNM forever have left because of pay or because of morale or feeling overworked or all sorts of things. Other places have more flexible schedules, that type of thing. I would really like to see staff council find ways that we could improve morale and retention at UNM, including some promotional processes and things like that, because we really can't, we have no control over pay, right? We can deal with, and we can lobby the legislature with the UNM legislative priorities and all of these things, but beyond that, there is nothing we can do with pay. So other ways that we can be competitive, there's a lot of articles that have been coming out lately about higher education, hiring issues and retention issues and all sorts of things in higher ed magazines. And I think if staff council could look at that and promote those types of things, I think it could benefit the university overall. Thank you.
Go ahead, Damien.
Yeah, similar to Amy's comment about bridging the Lomas divide, definitely would like to see more connectivity with the branch campuses. And then as far as IT relations, definitely looking at, you know, being able to identify maybe areas where, you know, staff council can help look at improving and broadening potential uses of technology that could help improve staff's lives.
Okay. Thank you, Damian. Winton?
I'm kind of going to repeat what others have said about bridging the divide. It might be a thought to host staff appreciation events off of the main campus. I know, like us over at Center for Development and Disability on Manal, we really feel like the forgotten little sister. And there's room, you know, there's room over there to host events. So it might be nice to have others come on over and see where we are. We might also consider, maybe you already do this, but I haven't seen it, staff appreciation satellite like TAO. When you're doing it here in Albuquerque, we're also having it done parallel in TAO, Las Cruces, that kind of a thing. So we might want to consider that.
Thank you, Winston. And now I had a comment. Following up on what Sierra said about retention, I would like to see us do some sort of language or policy review on ways staff get promotions. Some staff have been here a long time and have shown loyalty, but there were no ways of promoting them. And so that's something I would like to see. I know it's been hard. I know it's been discussed in the past. And when I asked administration about this, they said you could apply for a higher position job anywhere on campus if you'd like. Well, I'm a librarian. I have a master's in library science, even though I work for the library as a staff. I'm not a faculty, library faculty member. But some of us are in slots that or have our backgrounds in education and training in specific things that we can't really move around very much. So that's something I would like to see in the future, ways of promoting staff as a way of retention. Thanks. Go ahead, Grace.
Thanks, Joe. The one thing maybe that I would like to see is really a collaboration between leadership around safety and security for staff, especially staff who have to work very early in the morning and who have to work very late at night and have to go to their cars. There are some improvement and some work that's happening right now, but I would like them engaging staff council proactively in terms of finding solutions to better enhance the solutions they have right now.
Thank you, Grace. Winton again?
Just a question, something that's been affecting us at over at Center for Development and Disability. I'm just curious if it's also affecting others. It seems that we have the hiring process really, like getting back to staff, like working three people's jobs, you know, squished into one job. Part of that for us is coming from a hiring viewpoint. The time that it takes to give someone an offer, have them accept it, and then have a start date established, it can be, you know, 4 to 6 months, and we keep losing people. They'll accept, and then we'll get a call to have an offer somewhere else. So it's really demoralizing to the staff, and I don't know if that is a, you know, UNM-wide issue, and if staff council can do anything about that, but is it a coordination between different divisions, you know, like our HR and main HR? I don't know, but if anyone has any thoughts on that, it would really help staff if we could improve on that process.
Okay, thank you. And go ahead, Jessica.
I agree with what Witt just said. I think that one of the issues with giving people an offer and then them turning around and telling you that they received a different offer is it's well known in my areas that that's the only way you can get a raise at UNM. So if you go out, find an offer from another department, and then hope your department wants to keep you. And that's terrible. But that's how I've gotten all my raises, besides, you know, the little ones. And I feel like it's like the secret that everybody knows, like the worst kept secret about working at UNM. I mean, there's always the chance that your department won't match you. I'm in the middle of that right now. But in my department, they probably will. And that is a terrible business practice. That's all.
Thank you. Go ahead, Amy.
So, first of all, thanks everybody for all your suggestions. This is really wonderful. I appreciate your participation, and I'm absolutely going to watch this video over again and make sure I get all of it down. But to comment on what Jessica said, you're totally right about that retention offer, that is a way around it to get raises. Retention offers happen constantly. And my biggest concern with retention offers is actually not the fact that it's a little bit silly that we have this open secret and that's how you have to do it. It's more with the fact that those are exempted from equity review. And that is the biggest way that people get raises on campus, and there's no equity review, and that just seems really uncool. So definitely the FET tool is giving us better visibility into salary inequities than we had before, but it's nowhere near enough. So that's a great thing for us to focus on this year.
Go ahead, Damian.
Well, if I may, it's two separate things. You have the counter offer, which is basically what we're talking about going out and getting a competitive job offer from either external to UNM or another department within UNM, or the actual retention offer. The retention offer your department could actually use when they might suspect that you might actually start looking before you start looking. So unfortunately, I haven't really seen or heard where they actually use that retention offer to help retain us, versus, you know, having us to force that go out and actually obtain potential job offers from elsewhere that we might actually actively entertain. So I see that as a definite issue in regards to that. As far as the SPET tool, then that also, you know, if we did try to do with the equity adjustment regarding using counter offers or retention offers, that then that ties the department hand that they might not necessarily have the budget to help retain those individuals that might have that ability to look elsewhere. So it's, you know, kind of a catch-22 along those lines. Sorry, my two cents worth, so thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to make a comment for Amy? Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I can add to that conversation by saying in my department, I actually have support to increase compensation for new hires, you know, make the justification, which does trip the equity survey or equity grid, which is great because, you know, we see it internally as a way to address this retention issue. And we interviewed in my department two candidates that we really liked, and put forward the, you know, proposal to offer to our human resources reps in August, and we still don't have those two people formally offered, even though internally in my department, the compensation arguments have been made, the equity grids have been filled out. So I've been getting this impression that there's pushback or stalling at a higher level. I just wanted to share that with staff council, invite you to share any information with me offline that you may or may not have. You know, trying to address this issue from several different angles and still running into the same old results.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Hi, thank you. I don't mean to keep asking for days off, but we could also look into honoring Indigenous Peoples Day in the lines of equity regarding Juneteenth as well. And other employers, such as the City of Albuquerque, do in fact honor Indigenous Peoples Day. So whether it's an additional day off or better ways to really take pause and recognize this day is critical. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Sharina?
I don't know how detailed the SPET matrix is, but one of the things that that I noticed is in my department, when we hire staff or we just hired somebody actually from my office, the matrix that human resources uses doesn't take into account the technical expertise that somebody's coming in with, even if it's like a managerial thing, because, for example, my position, it's 90% technical and only 10% managerial, and there's no way for that to get translated into HR. And a lot of the folks that I work with, unlike clinical laboratories that have to have a certification that you can draw blood and have to have a certification that you can do this and that, because there are those clinical licensures that happen that just don't exist on like my side of the bench. I think a lot of our most seasoned technicians and stuff really get lowballed, because what I'm seeing from the administrative side is, oh, okay, we'll put them in at second quartile or something like that. But nobody who is actually affecting understands what it means to get placed in this quartile or that quartile of their grade. It's completely obscured, and I don't think there's any direct way to say, oh, this person has been working here 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 5 years with X amount of skill set that translates into that. And I understand HR has to oversee technical and non-technical, like all different types of jobs, but I think this is what should set apart the people who I work with, in terms of how they fall into those matrices that I don't know if that is accounting for those. Thank you.
Yeah, I would just like to say I have the same comment, is that some of us have been in the midpoint or below the mid-range on the scale and haven't moved up over the years, and that kind of bothers me. I know we get raises every year, and I know Amy talked about working on getting raises every year, and that might help with retention also. So, thank you, Serena. Are there any other comments? Go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, Amy, to add to the list of HR concerns is the upward mobility, right, into higher grades. And maybe this is something that's a sort of a lower hanging fruit for HR, is that there is a need for someone to always have managerial experience, right? Or how many people are reporting to X person? That kind of determines whether, should we give this person a promotion, even if it's a merit increase? Things like that. So those are some very nuanced ways of refusing someone upward mobility because they do not oversee direct reports, even if their responsibility is truly high, right? Just like the way Sharina is talking about. So I think this particular one, I think, is a much lower hanging fruit that HR can potentially address.
Thank you, Grace. I think I'll go ahead and do one more statement. Go ahead, Ariel.
Oh, sorry, couldn't unmute. I think something that I have observed over my time here at UNM is there's a lot of people who are promoted or hired into like middle management positions, and they have no support or information just about, I don't know, any resources really that are like with UNM. And I think we have, like, on the HR website, there's, like, a manager toolkit, but, like, how many people even know about that, first of all? Second of all, when you go and look at it, is it even helpful? Like, does it actually provide any support to you as a new manager or a new employee at UNM? I think there's a lot of room for improvement there. That would just be helpful for, and I feel like that trickles down to all the people that they're supervising. I think a lot of it has to do with kind of HR processes, performance management, or even, I know we even have like rewards and recognition programs that departments can utilize through compensation, but I feel like even the comments within this space are indicating that we don't even know what those are, or much less are we utilizing them within departments. So I think there's a lot of room to spread that information more far and wide, and get it to managers to feel like they do have control or ability to recognize people and to try to retain them in other ways. And even some of those things are, you know, monetary rewards, but, you know, are they aware? Are they using them? So I think that's an area that we could look at improving upon our communication and resources for managers and new people to UNM.
Okay, thank you. Shall we stop it here, Amy? Is that okay? Did you get a minute? If anyone has ideas, you can email them to Amy Ortiz, if that's okay with her. Okay.
Actually, email everybody, because the point of this is to get us all thinking about what we want to work on, know who else is interested in what we're interested in, and then we can team up for resolutions or, you know, getting it on a committee agenda. So, again, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, you could just send it to the all, you know, the counselor, staff counselors, listserv for all of us to look at. Moving right along, I don't know if, Adam Hathaway is here. Are you here, Adam? I'm sorry. Are there any counselor introductions who would like to make an introduction? Thank you. If there's no objection, we can adjourn this meeting. Not seeing any. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And I'll hope to see you in person eventually. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Hi, Joe. Great job today.